Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com. Do you ever wish you had someone to talk to? Well, Buddy Gab is here to solve that. So here's how it works. You simply choose to have a 30-minute or 60-minute conversation with your buddy. Your buddy will then call at your scheduled time, and then you have fun talking with your new buddy. It's as simple as that. You can choose how often you want to talk with your buddy and build a real human connection. Become a member today and find your buddy at BuddyGab.com. BuddyGab, when you need a buddy to talk to.
It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Benny Randall Show. 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 It's the Benny Randall Show.
I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall Show. Yeah. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall. I love the Benny Randall Show. Yeah.
Thank you and welcome once again to another edition of the Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. And like I always say, it is my humble pleasure that you allow me into your hearts and your homes once again. And today we have nothing less than another powerful show. We have Dr. Jill Taylor, was a 37-year-old Harvard-trained and published brain scientist when the blood vessels exploded in her brain. Through the eyes of the curious, she watched her mind completely deteriorate, whereby she could not walk, talk, read, write, or recall any of her life. Because of her understanding of how the brain works, her respect for the cells composing her human form, and an amazing mother, Jill completely recovered her mind, brain, and body. In My Stroke of Insight, a brain scientist's personal journey, Jill shares with us her recommendations for recovery and the insight she gained into the unique functions of the right and left halves of the brain. Wow. Whew. I don't even know what to say after that, Jill. How are you doing, Dr. Jill?
I'm doing great, Benny. Thank you very much.
Oh, I appreciate you coming on the Benny Randall Show, and because I believe that your story is just so powerful and needed to be shared with the world.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So let me ask you, Dr. Jill. Can I call you Dr. Jill?
Yes, please. Thank you.
No problem. When this happened to you, what was your first response?
Well, in the beginning, I didn't know what was actually going on in my brain. And as a scientist, I started out with a pounding headache. And it took me about 35 minutes to actually figure out that I was having some kind of a stroke. And it wasn't until my right arm went totally paralyzed that my brain said, oh, my gosh, I'm having a stroke. That was one of the warning signs of stroke. And the next thing that flashed through my mind was, wow, this is so cool. How many brain scientists have the opportunity to experience the deterioration of their own mind firsthand? Mm. So actually, it was very exciting.
Wow.
In a strange sort of way, yeah.
You know, you kind of threw me off, Dr. Jill, because you was exciting about having a stroke.
Well, you know, it was like my inside view of this organ that I had spent my entire lifetime studying. And so it was something unusual happening, and of course I had no idea that I would become so ill that I couldn't walk or talk or read or write or recall any of my life. So, you know, I didn't think it would go that far, but in the beginning it was really a fascinating experience.
Wow, that's important. Now, in this book, you take people on that journey with you. What made you want to almost like document this whole entire story?
I thought that if people understood what it felt like to experience a stroke, then if they ever had any of those symptoms, then they would realize that they needed to get help sooner rather than later. So that was my motivation, was to try to help people identify anything that was going on and what it felt like.
Now, can you, in layman terms, explain to people what happens when the body goes through, is having a stroke?
Well, there are different kinds of strokes that can happen to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
The most common type is when a blood clot gets thrown off somewhere in the body, and then it will migrate into the brain until it blocks that blood vessel. And it will block any oxygen from getting to the cells that it's supposed to fuel. And those cells are living organisms, and they have some kind of a function. They might have the ability for you to understand my language when I speak, or they might be your ability to see my face when you look at me. And if those cells are cut off from oxygen and they die, then they're no longer going to function. So my kind of stroke was a rarer form. It was a hemorrhage, where a blood vessel actually bursts and the oxygen goes out into the cell tissue and then causes some kind of damage. So that's what happened inside of my brain.
Now, Dr. Jill, what was your conscious thought when you could no longer walk, talk, read, or write? What was going on with you and your body at that particular time? Were you taking a journey that we as individuals on the outside don't know about? Does there something else happen when an individual is going through that much in their life?
When I shifted out of the consciousness of my left hemisphere, the blood vessel that burst was in my left hemisphere, and that's where language is. And language is a very interesting tool that we use to communicate with the external world. And when I lost language, I stopped thinking in words, and I shifted into the consciousness of my right hemisphere, which thinks in a collage of experience and is in the present moment. And I have to tell you, Benny, that the present moment is where everything that is magnificent about life exists. This moment is a perfect moment. The past moment, okay, I've got stuff in the past. I may have fear in the future. But right here, right now, this is a perfect, blissful experience of euphoria. And when I lost the left hemisphere and the language center and the chatter, the brain chatter in my mind, it shifted me into the present moment and into this space of euphoria. So it was really quite an interesting and positive experience for me, so much so that when after a while, I found it very luring and very attractive to go off into that, I call it la-la land, but it was essentially that space of silence that people meditate to get to that space of silence, and it was beautiful there.
Wow, that is so powerful, and I can concur with you on that because I am a meditator.
Uh-huh.
Doctor, can you tell us, talk about the present moment, what you were just talking about, that part that most people don't even experience because they fail to go inside. Can you tell us about that present moment?
Well, you when you stop and you think about your thoughts and what language your brain is using, there's a little group of cells inside of the brain that are designed for language. And there's a group of cells in there that are what I call the storyteller. And the storyteller is designed to take this piece of information, that piece of information, this other piece of information, and weave it together in a story. Well, most of the story that it makes up is not true, and based on the same amount of information, I can make up lots of stories. Many of them can be negative, tormenting stories that just, you know, move me into an anxiety. But when you shut down that language center and those words and that brain chatter and all of that verbiage, when you quiet that down and you stop listening to it and you stop feeding those circuits, then that shifts you into a silent space of just this moment. And when you stop and you look at your body and you recognize that you're the life force power of these beautiful, beautiful cells, 50 trillion cells making up the typical adult body, 50 trillion cells.
Wow.
That's like 8,333 times the 6 billion people on the planet. I mean, that's a lot of cells. I mean, we are this incredible life force power, Benny, and when you stop and you look at yourself that way and you recognize what a powerful living being you are in the world, then you have to ask yourself, what am I doing with my power? What am I doing? How am I focusing my energy? What am I trying to accomplish in the amount of time that I have on this planet, whether that's another few minutes or another century? So in that right hemisphere consciousness of this present moment, it's a perfect moment, and I own all of the power of what I am as a living being, and I have gratitude in my heart for my ability to see and my ability to feel the temperature of the air and my ability to communicate with another human being. We are just this miracle of life, and so many of us have forgotten that. We look at ourselves and with a filter of judgment that is harsh and negative, and that just ties us up into a loop of conversation and brain chatter in our brain that can be very, very self-destructive.
Wow, that is just so deep. That is so powerful. It's almost like, Dr. Jill, it's like you truly have the power to control your world and what you experience in your world according to how you maximize every moment. Is that what I'm getting from you?
Absolutely. I pay very close attention moment by moment to the thoughts going on in my mind. And if I don't like the way something feels in my body, and during this process of recovery, I couldn't walk or talk or read or write, so I had to relearn everything. And certain emotions I had to relearn again. And it was interesting for me because when anger wanted to revisit me, when the first time I felt that surge of adrenaline inside of my body that said, I'm building up to feel angry, I didn't like the way that it felt in my body. And I paid very close attention to what it felt like physiologically, and I said to my brain, no, I don't want to go there, and I don't want to feel that, and I'm not going to feed that neurological loop. So move on and get me something else. And I learned from having this experience that I have the conscious ability to say to my brain, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to think those thoughts. I don't want to feel those feelings. I want to go somewhere else, and I want to do something else. And I take total responsibility as a human being on the planet for everything I think, everything I feel emotionally, and every physiological loop that runs inside of my body. And the amazing thing is that I learned that I do have that power, and I believe we all have that power if we're willing to pay attention to what's going on inside of our heads.
So, Dr. Jill, why do you think the average person that does not go through such a powerful experience is not capable of going there without having to go through that adversity? How can regular individuals in their everyday life take full advantage of what you have experienced and now know?
I believe the first step is to pay attention to what you're thinking. Listen to your thoughts. Observe, but don't engage. When my language center, because I lost all language, when my language center started coming back online, it was about 3 weeks after the stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And 2.5 weeks after the stroke, I had to have major brain surgery, and they removed a blood clot the size of a golf ball that was pushing on my brain.
Wow.
So I couldn't experience any brain chatter. Well, after they got rid of that blood clot, then everything, the swelling went down, and my brain cells started to say, hey, we're back in here, and hey, we can have conversation again. And in the beginning, I thought this is great because this means that I'm going to be able to recover language and be able to communicate with people in the external world again. And so my brain started talking to me all the time, and I thought, okay, well, you know, this is kind of cool. And then I realized along the way that my brain expected me to believe all of the stuff that it was saying. And that just blew me away, because I thought, you know, it's making up all this stuff. It's designed to take this piece of data, that piece of data, this piece of data, and weave it together into these storylines, and I'm supposed to believe that stuff when it's based on such a minimal amount of information. And once that happened, I really realized that I have to be very careful. We all have to be very careful about what our brains are saying to us and about how much of that stuff we believe, because most of it is based on very little amounts of information. So I really think the first step is to recognize, pay attention to what it is you are thinking, and then ask yourself, what does that feel like inside of my body when I think those thoughts? And if it's something that you find to be positive and that you want more of, then you can encourage yourselves. I see my brain like it's this playground filled with children, and if I encourage those cells, then they do more of what they want to do. And the way we encourage ourselves is to pay attention to what it's focusing on. And if we want to focus on it, say, yeah, I want to think about that thought. I want to think more and more about that. I want to learn more about that. I want those circuits to grow. And if it's something that hurts me or is negative for me, then it's okay for me to go and feel those feelings and to think those thoughts, as long as I pay attention to how much time I'm spending there. Because ultimately, they're going to have some repercussion on the health of my body.
Now, Dr. Jill, we're in a time where everybody is learning about the, you know, the secret and all that, the law of attraction. But that has been around many, many years, long before people have even gotten to that point. Now, you talk about thoughts a lot. Now, do your thoughts and your feelings both coincide to work together? Or are the thoughts more powerful? How does that work in the brain itself? Which one makes it more active?
I believe
it takes both.
I believe that at the base of any feeling is a thought. I can think a thought that will make me sad. I can think a thought that will make me angry.
Mm-hmm.
I can think a thought that makes me happy, etc. So to me, at the base of the circuitry is the thought. So whatever you're feeling, whatever emotion you're feeling inside of your body, ask yourself, what is the thought that is attached to me running the circuitry of that emotion? Because there are lots of thoughts that I can think that will make me feel a certain way. So when I'm feeling an emotion powerfully inside of my body, I always ask myself, what is the thought? Because there's going to be a thought. And you do have the power to think about your thoughts and then to decide that you're going to change what you're thinking. And ultimately, then, when you change your thinking, you can change the emotions that you're running more often and routinely in your body, and that's ultimately going to influence your life.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Jill, in this book, you're speaking about your journey, mm-hmm. but your journey is a lot of people's journey, too, of mm-hmm. being able to overcome things that a lot of times many people give up. What
right.
made you, first of all, what was the period of time from when you had the stroke to your recovery period? And two, what made you keep on keeping on?
You know, I wish I could bottle it, whatever it was. Because, you know, I'd make a fortune on that keep on keeping on juice. For me, it was 8 years from the time that I had the stroke until the time that I decided I was 100% recovered, cognitively, emotionally, spiritually, all of me. So it took me 8 years, and I think I did that because I had a tremendous advantage in that, one, I believed in the ability of the brain to heal itself, and two, I emotionally got out of my own way and allowed myself to be what I was then. I had been, you know, one day I was a Harvard brain scientist performing research. The next day I was a completely mentally, physically disabled. I was an infant in a woman's body, and so, you know, emotionally, I could have easily said, I am just, you know, less than what I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, in the consciousness of my right hemisphere, I was so excited and in awe of the present moment that it was that magnificent beauty that I was alive and I was capable of touching things and I was capable of smelling things. And it didn't matter that I didn't know anybody or I couldn't communicate with anyone. None of that mattered. I was just in awe of my existence as a living being. So for some reason that was the juice inside of me that said, wow, life is worth living. Life is this very brief moment in time, and you know, whether I get 100 years on the planet or this is it, it was, oh my gosh, what an experience. And so it was just deep within me. I was just very blessed. And I think, you know, in the consciousness of the right hemisphere where you're in the present moment, you're feeling gratitude in your life. And when you feel gratitude, just gratitude. To me, Benny, a good day is when you get up and you look in a mirror and you know your name.
I'm 200% with you on that one.
I mean, just 200%. Knowing your name is a miracle. It's amazing that we can do that. So I don't know where it comes from, but I always felt blessed. I felt blessed to have survived. I felt blessed every day as I got better. Some days I didn't get better. Some days I had good days, I had bad days, I had high days, I had low days, I had lots of days where I just did a lot of sleeping because that's what my brain required. But I got out of my own way and I refused to ever say, I'm anything other than this miracle of life. And if this miracle of life gets her mind back and can go back to doing what she used to do, great. But if she can't do that, that doesn't matter. I will find my way and make do with what I have because I am still blessed with these beautiful cells that want me to be healthy. They want me to have this experience of being alive.
That is so powerful, and I'm so glad that when you said about just waking up and knowing your name, because a lot of times when people come across me, they ask you, well, how are you doing, Benny? And I always say I'm blessed, and for some reason people are shocked that I say that.
No.
And I tell them just waking up in the morning is a wonderful thing.
It is. It's just, and when you wake up with that attitude, that's what you attract to your life because that's what you are saying to yourself, this is what I want my life to be and I'm going to make it my life because ultimately how you perceive your life is what your life is. And if you choose to look at your life as defeated or as problematic, then it will be filled with defeat and filled with problems. But if you just look for the hope and you just look for the beauty, the other stuff really doesn't matter that much.
That's right. The universe delivers exactly what you ask for.
Absolutely.
That's why they call me the motivator.
Nice.
Dr. Jill, you spoke a lot about the left part of the brain and the right part of the brain. While your left part of the brain was experiencing something else, your right part of your brain was experiencing something else. Mm-hmm. Is it really that much difference going? You mean we are really that, what's the word I'm looking for? By design,
right.
We are really designed in such a manner that when one part is out of alignment, the other part makes up for it. Is that how the brain works?
Well, the brain, if you ever look at a human brain, the two hemispheres are completely separate structures from one another. They are communicating with one another through fiber tracts. The major one is called the corpus callosum. And it's like 300 million fibers communicating between the right and the left hemisphere. But if you cut that and a couple of other little fiber tracts, you have two completely separate brains inside of your head. And they process information differently. They think about different kinds of things in different ways. And they, as a result of that, they value thinking about different kinds of things in different ways. You know, you have two ways of looking at every situation. You can look at something as your glass is half full or half empty, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, oh, my heart is telling me to do one thing, but my mind is telling me to do another. Well, that's the structure and the anatomy of that is the actual structure of the two separate hemispheres inside of your brain. And so did you ever wonder when you're yelling at yourself, oh, why didn't you do that? Did you ever wonder who you're yelling at? You know, I mean, who's in there anyway? And it is. It's like one hemisphere and this other hemisphere are having this relationship. So to me, for any kind of a personal growth, I think it all has to start at the relationship between our two hemispheres. And there are certain circuitries in my brain that I absolutely refuse to have any energy going to, and that is when one part of my brain wants to be mean to the other part of my brain. There's none of that allowed in my life. Mm-hmm. To me, both hemispheres are total gifts. They have different skills. I'm so blessed that the left hemisphere came back online so that I can interact with the external world again. So my two hemispheres have this beautiful relationship, and I think it's really helpful to people when they recognize what part of me is in my right hemisphere and what part of me is in my left hemisphere, and how do I get these two to cooperate and like one another.
That is my exact question. Excellent transition. Please answer that question. What is in the left side and what is in the right side, and how do you get them to be in alignment with each other so they work for the better? As they say, you know, together, everyone achieves.
Right. The right hemisphere is about right here, right now. And at this moment, I want everybody who's listening to my voice to come to the present moment and to look at the view route in front of you and to figure out if there are other sounds in the background and smell the smells in your immediate environment and feel the temperature of the air around you. This is the present moment. And the present moment is a perfect moment. It's a right here, right now, and we are just so fortunate to be able to have this experience. And there's this sense of gratitude, this sense of wonder. Oh, my gosh, we are a human family on this planet, and how can we work with one another to make this world a better place for all of us? And it's that open-heartedness, that feeling of abundance and ebullience. Joy is a right here, right now experience. So when you're having that belly laughter, you're right here, right now, just really absorbing it. And so it's really important to recognize that's who I am when I'm in my right hemisphere and my right hemisphere is showing up. My left hemisphere is this incredible tool capable of taking that big picture of the big collage of all of my life that I'm looking at right now, and it attaches me to the past. And it projects an image of me into the future. And it takes the big picture and it categorizes and organizes and details all this information so that I can talk about it and I can experience it and I can sequence it and I can methodically do things with my life. And when you think about your life, you need both halves. And the both halves, when they're working together, they make a rich experience.
Man, this is a powerful show, Dr. Jill. I'm just so glad that you came through, and I know you are touching people because you are touching me in my heart.
You
are listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and we will be right back with powerful and inspiring Dr. Jill Taylor right after this.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Go. Boom.
That is so awesome.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Yeah. It's not a game, it's a lifestyle. We global. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
We're taking over the radio.
We are back, and you are listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, and we're having a very powerful, and I mean powerful, conversation with Dr. Jill Taylor. She is the author of My Stroke of Insight, A Brain Scientist's Personal Journey. And the story, I tell you, is remarkable. Dr. Taylor, are you still here?
I'm still with you, Benny.
Thank you. We at the halfway point. And tell me, what do you want this book to do for people?
I want people to better understand the brain, for one. I think that we have this incredible organ inside of our head, and many of us just don't really know much about how to have a relationship with their brain in order to get their brain to do what they want it to do. So I'm hoping that people can learn more about how to get their brain to do what they want it to do.
And Dr. Jill, where can people get this book?
Through my website is the best place, through drjilltaylor.com, drjilltaylor.com. I self-published it through a company called Lulu, L-U-L-U, and they can also get it through Amazon.
Okay. So do you believe that if people had a better understanding of their brain, they'd have a more, productive life?
I think that it opens up your power. You know, when I take responsibility for what's going on inside of my brain, then I realize that I have circuitry that runs and gives me the experience of being angry. And when I start paying attention to what things in the external world trigger my anger circuitry, then I can recognize that that's just circuitry, and that doesn't have to make me angry anymore. I don't have to run that circuit. And as soon as I take responsibility for that circuitry and not running that circuitry, that takes the power away from other people, and it helps me own my own power. And I think that there's nothing more important as a living human being than to own your power.
That is so powerful. Woo! I love this conversation, man. I'm learning something. Trust me, I may be in the interview, but I'm actually a spectator on the outside, okay? As Dr. Jill say, I'm in the moment right now, so I am absorbing the entire moment here. Dr. Jill, let me ask you, in this book, it's very powerful. What is your favorite part of this book?
I think that the last part, which is titled My Stroke of Insight. The first part of the book is a little intro to me and my history as a neuroanatomist at Harvard and why I grew up to be a scientist in the first place. The second part is I take you through the drama of the morning of the stroke moment by moment so that you get to watch through the eyes of a brain scientist as I watched my own brain deteriorate, so that you can learn about what that experience might feel like. It's a big drama. I mean, it's a big drama. And then the third part is about recovery and what I needed in order to recover. So there are 50 recommendations for recovery for anybody who is trying to recover from TBI, traumatic brain injury, or a stroke, or a severe mental illness, different ways of looking at the brain. Why is it that I have completely recovered? Virtually no one completely recovers from this kind of a major hemorrhage. So what advantage did I have? And to me, I think it was an understanding and respect for the cells. But the last part is my stroke of insight into what did I learn about my brain. And that's what excites me the most, because this is true for everyone's brain. And I think that if people understand these little pieces of information about how the brain organizes information and what, say, you have in what's going on in your brain, then you can recognize that, you can honor that, you can thank that, you can have gratitude for those tools, but at the same time, you can shift consciously into the moment, come back to the right hemisphere, because in the right hemisphere is where our deep inner peace is. And I'm a firm believer that most of us need to spend more quality time feeling a peaceful spirit inside of us. And the more we run the peaceful circuit, the more peace we will live in our lives, and the more peacefulness we will project out into the world. Ultimately, a more peaceful planet we will have. So that's why I get so excited about the last part, which is the My Stroke of Insight part.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I often tell people a lot of times, Dr. Jill, that if you start your day off in quietness and you end your day in quietness, what do you think going to happen in the middle, though? It's going to be quiet.
That's
so
right.
If you give quiet time to yourself early in the morning and late at night, in between, the rest of your day will run smooth, because people
that
will take time.
Absolutely true.
To be
absolutely
with themselves.
True. Those first few moments, I wake up in the morning and I open my eyes and I just feel gratitude for my life. And it's like whatever the day brings is a blessing. I'm so blessed that I have this time. And when you wake up and you put that kind of energy into yourself with that gratitude, then things that come to you, you look at through the filter of that gratitude. And it's a whole lot more satisfying than just getting up and going. Because as soon as you get up and go, you're gone all day.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were picked just for this experience, this
thank
total
you.
Experience. And I mean, truly, you are a blessing to a lot of people who get to hear your story. I can tell you, you are a blessing to me, because I had to come and find myself personally, too. But to hear somebody go through that experience, and so you can tell that you're so humble and you're so grateful for just waking up now and being blessed to even go through the experience. You can tell there is no regret. And,
and
that's what I'm so impressed by, that to you, this was all part of your journey.
Right.
Like, not, it wasn't a why me type of situation.
Oh, no. You know, I never understand why people say why me, because why not me? You know, life is this unpredictable journey, and frankly, I like the unpredictability of some of it, because otherwise I'm not learning, and I'm not growing, and I'm not changing, and I'm not reaching out for new opportunity and for meeting new people. And my brain wants that stimulation. It wants life to be something that is worthwhile, and every moment is this wonderful moment. And you know, for when you live your life like that, it's like, I want time to go to my art space. I create anatomically correct stained glass brains.
Oh, yeah, I got to see some of those, and people should go to your website to see that. I didn't know you'd act your creator of those.
Yeah, I do it because they're just beautiful. This organ inside of our head is just this really amazing miracle in the universe, and you know, we're all so blessed to have one. And it doesn't matter if some of us see ourselves as smarter than or not as smart as or whatever. It's like, take what you have and focus on those skills and let those skills grow and be grateful for those skills and encourage them, and you will manifest in the world. And I'm just very excited to be alive and to have survived and to have recovered and to get to talk to you, Benny. This is fun for me.
Let me tell you, Dr. Jill, you're the first woman I ever heard had a passion with the brain. Okay, you're the first woman out there. And it's a beautiful thing, but you know, how many people that have so much passion for their brain? Like, you know, it is a beautiful thing. Most people, when they think brain, they're like, you know, like people can break a leg. You know, people can break, you know, a finger or something like that, cut off their hair. But if you mess with their brain, people got problems.
Yeah.
But with you seem to embrace it as a challenge.
Oh,
it's something that you just want.
It is. It's just an amazing phenomenon in my mind. I'm so grateful I have one, and frankly, I'm so grateful.
I'm grateful I have one. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, there is no story like this story. I tell you, I've never quite heard it said that way. I'm grateful I have one. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Jill, let me ask you, why do most people, when they go through something traumatic like this, do not have the type of recovery like you? Now, I know you had a more deep understanding, and this was part of your journey, but how can people that are going through that have brain injuries, how can they recover? How can they have this type of, not experience, but how can they have a more positive recovery experience?
I think that it's very important that people listen to their brain. And the brain isn't going to just say, hey, I need sleep. It's going to get tired. And then you're going to make the decision, do I pay attention to the TV set and keep my eyeballs open for the next hour, or do I allow my brain to go to sleep? So I think it's very important that you listen to your brain. If your brain is having, if it's tired, for example, I'm real big on sleep. I think that sleep, I had much more sleep than the average person is permitted. I'm not sure that I would have recovered as completely if I had been in a traditional rehabilitation environment, quite frankly, because they will often give you medication in order to keep you awake early in the morning, and they keep you alert all day. But my brain said, stimulation overload. I need to close my eyes. I need to shut off all incoming stimulation and go to sleep and allow my brain to information that I had just brought in. And then I would wake up on my own, and then I was ready for stimulation again. And I have to tell you, Benny, that my hero is my mother, and she came into my life, and she just recognized that I was an infant again, and she taught me from scratch how to walk, literally, how to roll over and walk, and how to talk, how to read. It was a very difficult process. And then I once I got the basics, then she let me out back out into the world. But she was always just a plane trip away from me. Mm. So I was blessed to have a caregiver who we both believed in the ability of my brain to do it, but we had to pay attention to what it wants. So we had to pay attention to what kind of stimulation I was getting. We cut me off from extraneous energy, like the TV set. Have you ever noticed that when you sit in front of a TV set and you just watch it and you just watch it and you just watch it, there's this energy drain, and you all of a sudden become listless and more lethargic, and you just want to sit there longer because now you've got less energy because you've just spread it into this box.
Mm-hmm. And personally, I don't even watch TV, so yeah, I can't totally guess what you're saying, though.
Exactly. It's an energy drain, and so we turned off the TV, and we minimized people visiting me because I would get very, very excited, and I wanted to entertain them as much as I could. I wanted them to know that I was in here. I was still okay. It didn't matter if I couldn't talk to them. I was still tried to show up with all this energy. And then I didn't have any energy left over for doing puzzles or learning to write again, those kinds of things. So my mom was very cautious. And for this part, I would really encourage people to get the book because there are 50 recommendations for recovery, and I think every one of those 50 recommendations is highly significant in how to help somebody go through a process of recovering their mind.
Oh, my goodness. Let's talk a little bit about your mom. It's almost like your mom did this job twice then.
Yeah, she did.
It's like she did once when you were a child and then once when you went back to being that mentally as far as that, and it's like she was put there for that particular job to help you come back to a full recovery so you can do the service in what you are doing right now. She's a remarkable lady in her own right.
Oh, she's just an amazing, amazing human being, and I feel so blessed to be her daughter. And I have to tell you, it was very tender for me because I have two older brothers. So when I was a toddler, my mother was a very busy woman. And now, you know, she was retired and she had time. And so I got to go through being mothered again by her, you know, at the age of 37. And it was a beautiful experience. I really got to know who she is and how she thinks, and she just reared me up a second time around, and she's just I believe my first and greatest blessing was to be born to her as her daughter. Mm. Yeah.
Wow, that is such a great admiration and having your hero be your mother.
I mean that
relationship is incredible in its own right.
Yeah. A lot of people say, you know, this book is just an amazing mother-daughter story, and it really is because it wasn't just my journey. If I hadn't had her to take this journey with me, I would not be talking to you on the phone today. You know, it is because of her and her love and her support and just her willingness to show up for me 100% and do what needed to be done and to pay attention and know what needed to be done next in order for me to make that very next little bitty step. I needed somebody in my environment to pay attention to what are the obstacles to me making it to that next level of learning. And she was just brilliant in her strategy.
Jill, I mean, this is just so powerful. I mean, I really appreciate you, you know, you coming on here. We got a few minutes left. But what do you hope to accomplish with this book? And I know that you're speaking all around the country. Mm-hmm. What do you hope to give back to, I guess, the universe, which has given so much to you through your journey, through your blessings of being able to become a doctor and a scientist and be able to go through that journey with that type of insight? Because had you not been one prior to that, do you think you would have had this same full recovery without that understanding?
No, I think I really had the advantage of, first of all, I had this incredible awe and love and passion for the brain before the hemorrhage happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I honored its ability. I'm just, you know, before I was grateful for the kinds of things that it could do, but I was a very different person than I am now. Now I have more gratitude, I have more compassion, I have more time, I take time for things. People call me all the time with their stories and they need guidance and they need help and they just need to be loved and they need to be heard and they need to know where to go for help. And so, you know, I'm very receptive to communicating with people, but I think that what I really want to accomplish is for people to really recognize that they are this incredible life force power of the universe and that there's a deep inner peace right inside of their hearts and that it's important that they go back and revisit that peacefulness because it's so beautiful and it's so strong and ultimately I want humanity to heal itself. And I think that we heal ourselves by finding our peace and being more peaceful with one another. But I would like to share one thing with your listeners as I have this moment.
Go ahead.
And it takes 90 seconds for any emotion to come into your body, flush through your body, and surge out of your body, any emotion. So if you feel yourself becoming angry, I encourage people to don't get hooked up in the anger, but feel the anger in your body and then look at your watch and recognize that after 90 seconds, it's totally gone from your body. And yet if you stay angry for longer than 90 seconds, it's because you have consciously chosen to think the thoughts that bring you back into running the anger loop. So I think it's really important. I call it the 90-second rule, and I encourage everybody to try it. And people are always shocked that, you know, it actually works.
No, because that's powerful. I'm telling you, and I'm writing down what I'm talking to you. Don't believe I ain't taking notes. I am taking notes here, okay,
yeah.
Dr. Jill?
Yeah, the 90-second rule, it's absolutely amazing because most of us think, oh, well, you know, I'm mad, and I'm going to stay mad, and I can stay mad for hours, or I can stay mad for days. And it's like some people stay mad for years and decades with other people. And if you recognize the only time you get mad is when you think the thoughts that re-stimulate that circuitry, but it really only stays in your body for 90 seconds. So give it up. You are biologically designed to experience the moment, experience a thought, experience an emotion, surge it through your body for 90 seconds, have your reactivity, and then move on to something else. Come back to the present moment.
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at my watch now. I'm going to start looking at my watch now for 90
Absolutely.
Seconds.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you something. When people get mad or say someone is trying to take a person to that point, okay, now you say it only stays in your body for 90 seconds, so when people continue to be mad, is it simply because they keep bringing it back for another 90 seconds, and that's where the time comes in right there?
Yeah, and the thing about being angry is that it's a loop inside of your brain. It's circuitry. That's all it is. It's just a bunch of cells working together, communicating, and it's your anger circuit. And so you're thinking the thought, and you keep thinking the thoughts, and you keep remembering, and you keep thinking those thoughts that make me mad. I'm gonna tell you about why I'm so angry, and so now I'm going to think those thoughts again, and while I'm telling you, and so I'm going to run that circuitry some more, so I'm going to feel it in my body. And then I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to tell this person about how angry I am, or how sad I am, or how worried I am, or how, oh, blah, whatever, whatever. So, yeah,
wow.
You just keep running the circuitry, but it's all based on what you're thinking.
You make it sound so ridiculous to be angry just right now.
It really
That's
is.
What you make it sound so like you are one big kid to be sitting there being angry.
Well, you know, it's kind of entertaining. Have you ever looked at somebody when they get angry? I mean, or look at yourself in the mirror next time you get angry. Your forehead, your brow gets all tight, and you get these funny looks on your face, and your shoulders go up, and you make yourself big, mean, and ugly, and you know, it's like, come on, this is just cellular circuitry. How serious can you take yourself?
Wow.
And that's a choice.
That is so powerful, and it's amazing that somebody once told me that when you have anger, you're one letter away from danger. And I said, what? Yes, one letter
interesting.
Away.
That's very interesting, but that's very true.
Because
you're out of control. Mm-hmm. When you get angry and you run that circuitry, you have allowed someone else the power to push your trigger. It's like, I'm sorry, you don't have the power to push my trigger, or if you do have the power to push my trigger, you certainly don't have the power to make me run the circuit.
Dr. Jill, you go ahead and preach.
Yes.
You just go ahead and preach right there, because I'm telling you that you go ahead and preach. I don't think they even understand what you're just doing right now.
I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, and that is true, because a lot of times people give up their power.
Yeah.
And I often tell people, Dr. Jill, that in order to hold a man down, you got to get on the ground with him.
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
You got to get on the ground with him.
We need to take this on the road, then.
So, exactly. But, yeah, it's amazing how, and I hope people really understand the magnitude of what you just said, that when you are angry, give yourself 90 seconds to release it and move on.
Yeah, because physiologically, it's gone from your body. It's gone from your body. And then the question is, do you consciously hook back into the loop and rerun it, or do you move on to new loops?
Mm. Now, Dr. Jill, does that happen with all emotions?
You know, as far as I'm aware, physiologically, that's the way we're wired. Yeah, I have used this ever since the hemorrhage in the process of recovery. And I haven't hit an emotion yet that doesn't run on that same kind of pattern. But, you know, when you think about what is an emotion, it's just a group of cells that is a specific circuit. And something stimulates the circuit, and the circuit runs. Just like if I'm sitting here wiggling my finger, then it's the circuit. Those cells are running, and so my finger is wiggling. It's the exact same kind of thing for an emotion, except an emotion is a different experience inside of our human brain and body.
Mm, very, but man, I love this conversation. Man, this hour went so quick, it wasn't even funny. We got like 5 minutes left, Dr. Jill. One, I want you to give us a summary. Two, I want you to give us that website again and any information that you want to pass on to the listeners about maybe where you're going to be, how they can get the book, and where you may be speaking, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, super. For a summary, I'm going to say, remember that you are the life force power of the 50 trillion molecular geniuses that make up your body. You are the life force power of 50 trillion molecular geniuses. And when you walk out into the world with that attitude, people don't mess with you. They respect you because you are respecting what you are as a living being.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
It's the Benny Randall Show.
Man, I got to tell you, that was one of the most powerful interviews I have ever done. That is one of those interviews that makes you actually sit down and think about all the minor and little tedious things that we tend to go through in our own life, that we tend to allow to have us thinking in the way that we think about the such trivial things. Just think, I mean, if you missed any part of this show, you can go back and after the archives, after this show over, because that was one powerful hour of Dr. Jill. We disconnected, and then we'll see if we can get her back, but if we can't, we'll go ahead and let it go. I can tell you one thing that has taught me, and what she said, there's 90 seconds of keeping our anger in, and anything past the 90 seconds, think about this, it's just you keep playing that same negativity over and over and over again in your life. So what that tells us that, yes, everybody has the ability to get angry, but nobody should go longer than 90 seconds of being angry. And I know that might be a little hard, but I think with somebody having that experience she had, to be a brain scientist and to be able to go inside your own mind and be able to understand both sides of the brain, that was part of her purpose. I see some people in the chat room say she knows the secret. Yeah, and she was here to share it with us too. And that's what was so powerful. If you don't get nothing else from this interview, ladies and gentlemen, then please go back. This is one of those shows you need to go back and listen to again and really absorb what her experience was, because this is an experience. This is an experience that was just very, very powerful, you know. I don't know if you listened to the entire show, but you can go back and listen to it and determine whether that's practical. I believe it's like this in your life. I believe what is practical to you is based on your perception of what is practical in your life. What is powerful to you is based on your perception of what's powerful in your life. What's success to you is based on your own perception. So what I say is to say this, that anything that you ever want in life is based on how powerful you perceive it into your own world. Because what I have learned is this, we control the life we experience in our life, okay? You can either focus on negative things in your life and they will expand. Because one thing I have learned in my journey from coming from absolute broke to seven figures, what I've learned is this. Nobody is responsible for your success or your failure except you. Everything you will ever want in your entire life is based on your perception of you. Okay? I don't believe there, when people say this is impossible, or what I tell them, if you readjust your thinking, that word impossible becomes I'm possible. Okay? That's the difference what I'm talking about. Whether you can, your perception is, and somebody says negative energy is a great motivator. Yeah, it is. I always say make your haters your motivator. But what I also say, you don't have to look for it to become motivated. Your motivation should be your passion. Your passion in what you want to accomplish in life, your passion on what your purpose is. See, too many people do things for the money, and money is not a big enough motivator. You know what I mean? My point is this. You got to have a certain amount of self-motivation within you, okay, to achieve anything. I don't care if that means getting a better job, leaving your job, starting a family, or whatever it may be. You know, everything is possible, but you are the designer. And that's what I've always said in my entire life. That's how I came from one point in my life to be coming to another point in my life when I made the decision as Benny Randall to become successful. Okay, when I made the decision in my own right to become what I wanted to be in life. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that can't nobody do it for you. Only you can do it for yourself. What I've learned is this. In life, the world you experience is the world you created. Your parents are not responsible for your success. Your family and friends are not responsible for your success. None of those things are responsible for your success. You, and only you, are responsible for your success. Now, you can choose to follow what other people do, or you can choose to follow from within. Whatever it is you want to happen in your life, you can choose to make that happen. I have come to learn in my lifetime that is this: when you connect your gifts with your passion, they take you to your purpose. And with somebody going towards their purpose, therefore, their success in their life comes. People go for the money and whatever, and I'm going to tell you, money is the byproduct of success. It's not the other way around. That's why when people go for the money, sometimes you may get the money, but you'll be a slave to the money. Okay? That's why they call them a job, because a job is a jail operating as a business, as I've said many, many times. Now, you have to ask yourself, do you choose to just work on somebody else's dream? Or do you choose to work on your own dream? Because every day that you wake up, you're either doing one or the other. You're either working on somebody else's dream, and that's that company you're working for, so you can get that check, or you're working on your dream. Okay? Now, you have to ask yourself, which one is more important to you? The sad situation is this. Most people choose to work on other people's dreams because they are a hostage to the paycheck. Okay? Never let money hold you hostage, because it will make you do things you never wanted to do in your life. So what I've learned is that if you work for your money, then you will make a living. Okay? Those are called wages. But profits make you a fortune. So when your money works for you, you make profits. And that's what the companies that hire all these people that are complaining about the job that they're at. But you got to understand, nobody's holding a gun to your head. All they're holding is a paycheck to your head. All this stuff around here, people talk job security and all this. There's no such thing as job security, because when your company is ready to let you go, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? You're out of there like last year. So you could sit around and think, oh, I'm so valuable. Let me tell you something. You're just about as valuable until you don't make more money, because let me tell you, no one's going to hire you unless they're making three times the amount of money from you than they are paying you. Otherwise, it's not logical and it don't make sense. Remember, we live in a world that is built on capitalism, and it's about capital, okay? And that's what people don't realize. So if somebody, you say, oh, I make a lot of money, I make $30 an hour, I make $40 an hour. Well, guess what? If your company is paying you $40 an hour, they're probably making $80 on you. Otherwise, it wouldn't be logical to have you there. The numbers don't ring right. Okay, for every hour you're there, whatever you're making, they're making maybe two or three times more just by the fact why you're there. And when that is not happening no more, that's when they have those things called layoffs. You're unproductive. Okay, so that's what people need to get it in their mind is, you know, you can either work on somebody else's dream or you can go ahead and work on your dream. I choose to work on my dream. Okay, I choose to do those things that give me absolutely, positively nothing but pleasure in doing them. Where I wake up in the morning and I'm doing what I want to do, not what I have to do. Okay, because what happens when you are doing what you have to do, you are left in a stigma that allows you to be in like an illusion. And that's when people get fed up about their jobs, and there's nothing wrong with a job, okay, because everybody needs to survive. Trust me, I've been to the mountaintop, okay? I've been to the mountaintop of broke, okay? And I just don't choose on going back there, okay? But what can happen, you are responsible. You are responsible when, wait, some Benny, either you earn money or you make money. Well, I can tell you like this. Money don't make me. And that's what I could definitely say. It don't make me. But it follows me. And it follows me because I have passion. I have passion in what I do. I love what I do. I wake up in the morning. I'm the first one there and then the last one to leave. Because it is my company, so I choose to do those things that takes me to the next level, okay? And what I've learned is this. People either going to be attracted to you or they will repel against you. And I can tell very quickly the energy of people simply by having a very short conversation with them. And sometimes I can tell just from their words where their mindset is at. Because it's all about your mindset. And people who are negative in everything. Okay? They're negative in the way they speak. And they are negative in the way that they type. They're negative in their presence. That's what I've learned. And I've learned, don't worry about what other people think about you. Because one thing I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. When it's your time to go, you go in alone. When you came here, you came alone. When you go home alone. So what you want to do is maximize every minute. You got to understand this. There is 1,440 minutes in a day. You need to maximize every single minute of that day. Okay? Maximize that. And just like they say, you have only two people in the world. You have those that talk about what they're going to do, and you have those that do what they talk about. Now you look in the mirror and ask yourself, which one are you? Because those who talk about what they're going to do, they always continue to talk. And then you have those who doing what they talk about. That's why the energy is, put yourself, like I wrote in my book, The Motivation Factor, if you hang around 9 broke people, you're going to be the 10th. You know why? Because that energy is not good for you. It's not good for your soul. And don't allow people with their belligerent energy to came to one. As Dr. Taylor was saying, Dr. Jill Taylor was saying just earlier in the interview, anger only stays in you for 90 seconds. So anything more than 90 seconds, which means you just keep repeating the thoughts of why you're mad, when you're mad, and let me tell somebody else I'm mad, and what type, let me tell this is mad, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? It is so powerful. It's the so powerful in the asset of, this is what I have learned in my life, is that anything that you can mentally visualize, you can so much materialize. And there is nothing in this universe that we can't, because you got to understand, what people say in this universe is this. You have the people that say, that can't be done. And then you have the people that say, why not? The people that say it can't be done, those are the people that sit in front of the TV and complain about everybody and everything. Those are the people that go to their jobs and complain that they're not where they want to be. Those are the people that are not even happy with themselves. Because you got to understand, when people are angry towards you, when people are negative towards you, what they're really doing is they are crying out for help because they're angry inside. So you know you got to, when that angry inside, it's a whole nother concept. You know what I mean? So think about the words that people say. Think about some of the things that people do. They are in their own little right. You know what I mean? And that's what I've learned in my life. It's like this. No matter what you want to do, it takes you to be responsible, you know, for that individual. You have to understand what that is. Okay? Don't let, you know what I mean? Because I ain't got time for the negative energy. So I just wipe it out just like that. Oh, it's gone. And remember this, ladies and gentlemen, you are responsible for where you are. You are responsible for who you deal with. I don't have to deal with it. You know why? Because I choose to be around powerful people. I choose to be around other people. And when those people try to sneak in, you know what I do? I silence them. Because silence is the language of God. And remember, everybody in your circle should be powerful. Okay? So this is what I want you to do in these last few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to go into your phone book today. And I've said this many times before, and I hope other people have taken care of this. I want to go you to go into your phone book, into your cell phone, and I want you to delete all those people that do have nothing to do with you getting to your purpose. Okay? Who have absolutely nothing to do with helping you get to it, because there's some people that they lag down your energy. Now, you can either allow them to just still sit in your house and saying, okay, I'm not going to worry about them. They'll sit on the table. But believe it, the energy is in the house, is in the house. Okay? Power of forgiveness, they laugh out loud. That's real talk. You have to take accountability for yourself. You got that right, power of forgiveness. There it is. You know what I mean? Just like when I'm on the Benny Randall show, I take accountability for who in the house. And then when they act up, I throw them out of the house. It's just that simple. Because that 90 seconds is up. But anyway, the whole point, what I'm trying to get this, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Don't allow people to come. Because when you are being powerful, when you are grabbing positive stuff, people will try to come in and antagonize that. People will try to come in and stop that positive and powerful energy. They do it every day. If you don't believe me, just start doing something that's very powerful, that's taking you up a level. And you'll notice when you start taking everything that can possibly come to you will start to come towards you. But that's all a test. Okay? That's all a test to see, can you, one, persevere, two, go to the next level, three, how bad you really, really want it, okay? And power forgiveness, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for moving those vampires out of my life. I hear you. I hear you on that one. But, yeah. Take those energies out of your life and don't even deal with them, because all they're there to do is disrupt. They're there to disrupt the energy, because anytime you're trying to do anything powerful, you would have energy coming from all around. If you notice, when you're not doing anything, when you're just sitting around and complaining and whatever, nobody bothers you. You know that? You ever notice that? People only talk about you when you are doing something positive. That's when they talk about you. Okay? So like they say, if nobody's talking to you, talking about you, that means you probably ain't doing nothing. So think about what you want to do. And every single day, you got 24 hours in that day. You got 1,440 minutes. Ask yourself, how are you going to move to the next level? Okay? How are you going to get to that level that allows you to step up your game? Or are you just going to sit around here and complain? And I've told this story many, many times, and I tell it when I'm on the road. Colonel Sanders was age 65 years old when he got that one Social Security check for $99. He said, I cannot live off of $99 for the rest of my life each month. And he had absolutely nothing to sell, ladies and gentlemen, except his chicken recipe. Do you know that gentleman that we know, Colonel Sanders, who now who's the KFC? That's why you never see no young pictures of him because, you know, he didn't even start going after what was powerful until he was 65 years old. He got 1,009 no's before he got one yes, somebody to take his recipe. He didn't even want to sell the recipe. All he told them is that he wanted a percentage of every piece of chicken sold that used his secret recipe. Okay? That's what he said. I want a percentage of every piece of chicken sold that used the recipe that he had to sell because he knew he couldn't live off his Social Security check for $99 a month. So don't tell me that it's too late for you to do what you want to do in life. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that it is too late for you to go after your dreams. The only time it's too late is when you're dead. That's when it's too late, ladies and gentlemen. You don't know. Sometimes people get their stuff very early in life as kids. And this is one thing I do believe. And this is what I have learned about success. You can be too early for success, but I don't think you can ever be too late for success. And the reason why I say you can be too early because you can be at a maturity level that you haven't learned. So it's like if you make a couple millions while you're 12 years old, you may not have the maturity level that you would have if you was 30 years old when you made that money. But honestly, I don't think that you can ever be too late to follow your dreams. And better yet, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even want you to follow your dreams. I want you to chase your dreams, okay? Chase your dreams until you die. Okay, it is better to die trying to chase your dreams than to live in misery. Because when you are at that job, that jail, operating as a business, and you know you don't want to be there, stop blaming everybody else for your circumstances. Get your narrow behind up and just go get the job you want. Even if it don't pay the money you want, it will eventually, because when you go in there, see, you're gonna super succeed what other people is doing because you have such a passion to do it. I know people who have started off as interns and are multimillionaires right now. You know why? Because they decided to chase their dreams instead of just hold on to their miseries. Okay? Like I always say, you're either living your dreams or you're living your fears. I am Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator. If you want to learn more about me, you can go over to BennyRandall.com. You know, if you want a powerful coach, go to BennyRandall.com and see how we can make that happen. Okay, but one thing I can tell you is this, ladies and gentlemen, you are responsible for your success. Okay, I want to thank Dr. Jill Taylor. If you missed any part of this program, please go back and listen to it over again because this lady shared an experience that most of us would never, ever share in our entire life. And as somebody said earlier before they got wiped out the universe in the Benny Randall land, make your haters your motivators. I do too, but I don't mean I got to look at them. Holla. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you and I hope you love yourself. Where's my theme music at?
It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show. It's the Benny Randall Show.
Yeah.
It's the Benny Randall Show. 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 It's the Benny Randall Show.
I love that Benny. I love the Benny Randall show.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Major key alert, don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested, so pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused. Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Don't stop. Keep it locked. Keep it we locked. Global, baby. BashaniRadio.com. You better ask somebody. Kaboom.